محمده ونسلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد قال الله تعالى في قرآنه المجيد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد العادل الجود والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلي الغالب والله اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلي وصحبه وبارك وسلم أما
روشی پڑھنا ماسر مہمائے
The place where we are present here, this place. Apart from here, there's another world. There's the place called Barzakh. And there's also other places, creation, then the hereafter will come. There's Jannah, there's hell. And in reality, what is out there, there's two worlds that we have an association with or a connection with. One is this dunya that we're in, and second is the hereafter. This dunya in which we are present, how long are we here for? This is not in our knowledge. We don't have the knowledge of this, nor do we know about this. When are we going to go? How are we going to go? How will we depart? In which condition will we depart? We have no knowledge of this. But we are just living here at the moment in the dunya. And what is this dunya? Nobody can understand what is this dunya. For this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has introduced and defined this dunya himself. Dunya is, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stated, a dunya sijana nil mu'min. Sijan. Very short statement, but that blessed tongue from which these words have emanated, that's why it's a very valuable statement. Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam defined this dunya in front of us. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. Because if you don't have the introduction or definition of something, you won't understand it. For example, we are here and we don't know anything about America. And if somebody defines to us, America is like this, he describes it, this many streets, this town, there's hot here, it's cold there. So when he summarizes that, then when we make the intention to go there, then mentally we're prepared that what happens there, what's going on there. And according to that then, we will understand that environment. So this dunya that Allah Ta'ala sent us to, this is a place, a physical place that nobody can understand. For this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has defined this dunya himself, explained this dunya himself to us, described it, that this dunya is like a jail. Very beautiful definition of this world. The people of wisdom, they accept and listen to the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those who are foolish and stupid, from one ear it goes in and the other ear it comes out. So this description, remember this, if you want to be successful, what is this dunya? Say loudly, what is it? It's a jail. If this is a jail, then what are we? We are the prisoners. We're not free, are we? This is a prison. One is a free person and a prisoner. The difference is like the difference of the sky to the earth. You cannot imagine. that when a person's in prison, a prisoner, what's the life of a prisoner in the prison? Yeah? And if you're free, free. So we are prisoners. But we are so stupid that we consider ourselves more free than the free person. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, we think we are extremely free because the prisoner is a prisoner. He understands the restrictions. The prisoner who is in the prison, can he do any action according to his liking and desire? No. Standing, sleeping, sitting, eating, walking, moving, bathing. Everything the prisoner has to follow the instructions of the jail keeper. He can't do anything himself. Nor does he know his sleeping time, his waking up time, his eating time. He can ordain himself. He has to do it according to the instructions. And if anyone, if he speaks away from what's allowed, then he's a rebel. He's given punishment that he's a rebellious prisoner. So Allah Ta'ala, alhamdulillah, has given us the title of mu'min. At least we are believers, we have the recognition and awareness. That because in the mu'min, there's awareness after having iman. So those people won't understand who don't have iman. What will they understand? They have no iman, they think this is a place we're going to live in forever. We'll do this. And they've selected the hereafter is Jahannam. But the mu'min, the believer, he doesn't just select like that. He wants to go to Jannah. Paradise is for him. For the believer, so Allah guides how to get there. So here, the mu'min, the way he should live, his movement should be like the prisoner. Never consider you are free. The person who tries to be free, he will get deviated. He will be destroyed in this dunya. He who thinks he's free. We are living in this world like prisoners. According to Allah's hukam, we have to live our life. We have no, we don't have our own opinion. We don't have our own understanding. Nor can we, can I think according to my desire and opinion. Nor can I do what I want. You can, doesn't matter what happens. Allah has given a hukam, order. You have to come to Salah in the morning. You have to come to Salah in the morning. We can't follow our desires. There's no excuse. No reason. Because I'm a prisoner. You are a prisoner. Allah has given us instruction. Those who don't come, they are rebels. They've broken free. They are rebels, they have taken that footstep that we are rebels, we're not interested. Then wait, Allah says, wait for the conclusion then. Just wait for a short while. Because the conclusion that faces the rebellious people, the fugitives, that will happen. Same way I gave the example of Salah, all the hakams, instructions, orders Allah Ta'ala has given to us, they are written into our lives. We must implement them according to Allah's instruction. We need to live our lives. So the first thing we can understand now from this discussion is that we are prisoners in this dunya. And if you look around us, always we've got difficulties in our life. We're faced with challenges. We try our best, for sure, to make our life easy, comfortable, and smooth, and gentle, and luxurious. But it never gets to that point. Until today, it has not happened to anyone. And nor can anyone claim that he's living such a life. Nobody can claim, doesn't matter if you go and take a microphone, even the king of the country, ask the king with the microphone in his face, how are you feeling today? The king will answer you, how do I feel today? The king. Because you cannot get satisfaction in this dunya. It's not the place of satisfaction. Children distress, wife distress, business distress. You have a distress due to this. We all sat here, this gathering, we have the collection of distress and sorrow with us. This whole gathering, the fikr, the concern, what will happen there? What's going to happen to that person? My child, my son, my daughter, he's got cancer, she's got this, that person's got this illness. Lots of issues. Oh, I've been suspended from my job, if I get smart, what's happening in India, what's happening to my parents, what can I do, how can I treat this person? Some news or other is coming in the phone, such as, oh, he's died, he's alive, that person's got a child. Sometimes happiness, sometimes sorrow, sometimes this, sometimes that. Ajeeb, weird place we are living. And the way we are passing the time. Is this the case or not? So, a prisoner always is in sorrow. The distress with business. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a life like this. He's given us an environment like this. Now, if we are not got concerned about food or our stomach, then we'll get hungry. Because Allah has given us a stomach, we'll get hungry. Yes, you get hungry, isn't it? You want food. Then we run around towards the food. And then we seek the food, earn the food. That's why we get a job. Then problems come. That's the life. That's our life. On top of that, then we have mental desires, we want enjoyment, I want to make this, I want to make that, then thousands of actions we undertake to make extra. So how much in our life we are waiting, you could say. And what it, we are depending on things and things. When a child, when he grows up, he'll get married, then there'll be children. After that, then we have that concern. First for ourselves, then our children, then their children. See this with your eyes. And then he's worried about his son, his daughter, his wife, just like you used to look after your children. The children are now looking after their children. New life. Now you've got two sorrows, two concerns. Now it's not your son who's sick, it's his son, your grandson who's sick. Then you've got double concern. And this is also with you. Ajeeb dunya we're living in. Ajeeb dunya. Weird. Your thoughts, Allah. Allah says that this life is of 2 days, but thinking about Allah, we don't do that. Yeah? This life, just 2 days long, and full of issues and concerns and worries. A man gets so tired, downtrodden in this dunya. He gets tired, exhausted. Really exhausted and tired and fed up. And there's no satisfaction even then. Just cannot get the achievement of satisfaction. And then that life that's going to come after that, oh, Allah forgive, Allah forgive. This is just a short temporary world, the life to come about that. The Prophet ﷺ gave a beautiful example. He said that if you put your finger into the ocean, the water in the ocean, and the water that comes on the tip of your finger, that's the comparison of this world. Whatever water comes on your finger, that's the difference between this world and the hereafter. The water on the tip of your finger is this dunya, the ocean is the hereafter. Say subhanallah. What an example the Prophet ﷺ gave to us. Where's the ocean, the vast ocean, and those few droplets of water on the finger? We are dying for the few droplets of water on the tip of our finger that has no proportion compared to the rest of the ocean. And we're destroying ourselves and our lives for this. We are killing, beating, quarreling, doing oppression on the children, but this one's running with that person, fitna, facade, disorder, confusion, challenges. We are immersed in this. And the life to come, we have no hisab, no worry about that. That's going to come very quickly indeed. Just like today we prayed a janazah, every day we pray. Today we prayed a janazah, it was a sister. And we were sad here. And where's she gone? A short while ago. She's gone to the real world. She will never come back here again. Never ever. Whoever's gone will never come back. Permanent flight, one way ticket to the hereafter. Yes, there's no return ticket from the hereafter. Me and you are going to go there, but because this dunya is such a place that is deceiving us, deception, fraud, doesn't allow us to think. We are grateful to Allah that we sit and we talk about these subjects. At least we are doing this. Otherwise, where would we get this opportunity? We are so busy from morning until now that we don't even have time to drink tea. We stand and eat, we stood in our shop, make sandwiches, take away, and pack lunch. All day he's earning. And what food does he get? A dry piece of bread inside there. There's nothing. And he stood there eating that at work. Why? Because I'm at work. I've got to work. And that work that you can't get bread and chapati from that work. You can't sit down with these to eat. What life is that? Is this the case or not? Tell me. Never can we sit with ease and drink tea with comfort. No, yaar, quickly. Sometimes, what happens? Yes, that person misses dinner. He doesn't know if he's got lunch or dinner. Did he have breakfast? How should you have breakfast? How should you eat lunch? How should you have dinner in the evening? We're just running around hither and thither. Hither and thither. And the place we're going to go to, thereafter, very close to us. And we cannot compare that. The Prophet said, what's in the hereafter? There is more tafakkarat, more pondering, more worry, more concern. As soon as the call comes to go, the time of death, Allahu Akbar, the time of death, when the ruh is pulled out. No time to blink. The Sahaba Karam, the noble companions, they saw that. And when the life is pulled from a person, the example of that is like, you can say a thorn, nettles, you know, the chain of nettles are being pulled through the flesh of the human being. That's the pain and anxiety at that time. That's the experience of the time of death. The chain of thorns and nettles pulled through the flesh of the body is the pain. After that, when the soul is pulled and the angels, they come, they take you, beating the person, dragging the person, pulling the person, that insan who here thought he was great and honorable, he had so much money here, big bank balances, big bank accounts, big status, and big head. The angels were beating with the shoes. Verbally, such people I've met who have seen the scenes of death. Not pious people, normal people in the world have heard, they've seen the scenes of death, how their life was pulled out from the people they knew. This was my hal, this was their hal, this is how I died. We used to study together. We used to study together. And he used to smoke drugs. He was a cannabis addict. Heroin, drugs, bad situation here. We used to study together. Mother and father were extremely upset. You know, children in university get addicts. Save yourself, innit? You're trying to save your children. You cannot be saved from this dunya. I tell you, what is this dunya? What game are we playing? What drama are we falling into? It's not in your control at all. You are a prisoner. Try your hardest. I will save him. I'll try and do this. I want to save my daughter and my son. You cannot save them. So, he was a heroin addict. He was a drug addict. Mother was upset. And the father was a sayyid of the child. I'm telling you the true story of my life I'm sharing with you now. Not from the books, the things I've experienced, I've observed, I give you those examples. Don't say, oh, you said this reference from this kitab. No, I myself am a kitab. I myself am a kitab. So you should read me every page of yours, of mine, of my life, you will get the learning. No doubt. So, that colleague of mine, young life, his father, he did dua, he started doing dua. Allah is Kareem, Allah is generous, he listens, he's doing dua in sujood, prostration, then see, I'm telling you the circumstances. The son was a drug addict. And then in the dream, Allah Ta'ala sometimes shows the person everything. Not that just to the pious people, what is maut, death, what are the angels, what is punishment. Today the person who's smoking drugs, leaving salah, committing sins, he cannot see anything now, can he? But if he was to see, then he'll realize in life he'd never leave salah after that day. Thousands of shops he'd sacrifice. Never would he sacrifice a gathering of dhikr. Then he'll see the reality of the rewards and the punishments. Allah Ta'ala doesn't show every moment. These are the veils between us and the hereafter. You should have believed that what Allah and His Rasulullah has done and said, what they've said to us, we should do. Showing us, if they were to show us the things, then the story would end. But sometimes Allah with His affection and mercy shows somebody. So that father, Allah Ta'ala had pity on that father, Allah accepted his dua. And he was my friend, he's telling me himself the story. That how his life of drugs transformed, how he became a pious person, my friend. So he went and lay down, he was in the dream. And then his dream started. And it wasn't that dream that he thought he'd see, alhamdulillah, it was a unique situation. He saw that he was grabbed hold of. And Qiyamah was established and everybody was looking. And they grabbed him. It was judgment day. Maybe quite a long time has passed. 50 years ago, I'm sharing this story with you. 50 years ago, this incident occurred. Decades ago. Yes. So maybe a few words below here or there. But the main crux of the summary of this incident I'm sharing with you, he's looking at Qiyamah. They're grabbing hold of him. They're punishing him. What was going to happen? Was happening to them. Whatever crime, the interest bearer, just like the Prophet saw on the Mi'raj, the punishments for each sin, so that we can become alert. And that person who doesn't pray Salah, what's his conclusion? Punishment. The person who delayed Salah, didn't pray Salah and Jama'ah, what was his conclusion? The Holy Prophet saw the punishments for all of these and told us, so that we can learn, so we can prepare. Because it's not happening right now. But I told you that it's just like the water on the fingertip and the rest of that vast ocean is the hereafter. Very quickly that will confront us. This dunya will not be forever with us. Yes, we say, oh no, we can do what we want. Eat, drink, be merry, do what you want. No, no. Allah says there's a limit. You will get this much money, this many breaths in your life, this much your business will flourish. That's written. Your money will come to you. There is no connection that you are prosperous, you're good or bad, you're sinful or you're pious. Even the people who don't believe, they have everything in the dunya. That's not the measurement gauge for success. You understand what I'm saying up to now? So he was seeing in his dream the punishments. When his eyes opened, then Shah Sahib was not the same Shah Sahib after that. And now he changed. He saw with his own eyes, his body shaking. He went to his father, my father, forgive me, crying. And father, alhamdulillah, said, Allah, you accepted my du'as. And then I saw his life was, I knew him, he was a colleague. Alhamdulillah, solid on salah, lover of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he became, changed his life, the drug addict. So this is what happens. Yes, it's not necessary that Allah will show you physically, but sometimes Allah's mercy comes. Punishments are there. So akhirah, hereafter, is much more vast than this dunya. Big, big tests and challenges to come after death. And a person who's waiting for resurrection, day judgment, day before the hisab, 50,000 years long. And 1 year of the hereafter, how long is it compared to the year in this world? And which condition? The Prophet said, we will stay there, stand there. Me and you will have to stand there. What will be our condition? 50,000 years of the hereafter. No, it's fine. Because we're in the dunya, isn't it? Deceived. These words we don't want to listen to. When we speak about houses, assets, money, mansions, wives, children, we really like that discussion about the dunya. And the hereafter, the fear, the awe, those who know the reality of the hereafter, they just wipe it away. So I leave the hereafter, yard. Let's not talk about that now. Leave that for another day. And they say, what about the hereafter? No. Because what am I going to do there? Oh, I can't face that. Hey, little things. But the person who knows about the hereafter, he says, this person died, no problem. Allah will do khair, inshallah forgive him. Let's prepare for the hereafter. Look at your deeds. What can we do? He's taken his deeds. What should we do for hereafter? Because they can see and feel the hereafter to come, the punishments that Allah and His Rasul told us. And that scene has been wiped from our minds now. That recognition, awareness has been wiped from us. Because this dunya about which Allah and His Rasul have stated that this is a prison. You are a prisoner in the prison. But we have been overwhelmed by the prison. Children, when there's issues with the children, will start shaking. Wife is upset, will be shaking. Little bit of our dunya left and right goes upset, will start shaking. But never will we feel sad that my son doesn't pray salah. My daughter doesn't pray salah. No, the mother or the father. Oh, the children will grow up. We try our best. And very slightly we take it when they don't pray salah. And if the pain comes in the dunya, the life of our children, then see how the man runs around to solve the problems. If Allah wants, Allah Ta'ala could destroy those who don't have iman, but Allah doesn't. Allah doesn't. And such a person, Allah gives a chance. He has iman. Days are shu. The real maqam, the hereafter, will be nobody to save a person. The punishments around it. Allah says, let him carry on. Understand what I'm saying? So now, two things have come into our learning today. I'm sharing with you this story. This is my style, the way I speak. I'm not, I was a lecturer. I used to teach in the university. So I consider you as students in my classroom. And we go in a sequence. We just need the blackboard and the chalk, otherwise we've got everything here. So I consider my students here, the class is running of quite a few years. I taught in the college, university, I used to teach my subject. Alhamdulillah, mashallah, Allah Ta'ala has trained your sheikh in many ways. That's why this person is useless, Allah sent to you. But even then, I cannot serve you properly in the hereafter. Please forgive me, I try. I know that I cannot teach you to the standard that you are rightfully due. I accept my mistake, but please, if you forgive me, I'll try my hardest. I try so my words so that you can understand. So your hereafter is made, and inshallah, my hereafter is made as well. There's no other objective. But I know I'm not worthy, and I can't explain to you properly, but I try. Anyhow, I'm grateful to you that you still bear, and you're patient, and you endure, and you wait for the understanding. You come to listen to me. And at least you listen. I'm useless. And this is your great favor on me, mashallah. I appreciate that, and I'm really grateful for that. So, the topic was very good. I liked it. That came to my mind. That's why I'm describing this to you today. I'm sharing with you. Very beneficial discussion that we're having today. This very beneficial discussion. I try to think of deen as simple, straightforward. Because this deen, Allah has given us easy, straightforward steps to practice the deen. Why don't we implement them? Today I'm about to tell you such a step that in a second your world and the hereafter will be taken care of. Such an easy implementation. Your dunya will become paradise. The sorrow and distresses you're running after. And we will feel like we're in paradise. This prison will become like paradise. And then imagine what the hereafter will become. So this is how I look with this glass, magnifying glass. No, the one who gives fear, oh, the scorpion's going to come. You're going to be bitten by snakes and you're going in the grave. You're going to get punished. And thereafter, you're going to get punished and burned. Why should we make each other scared? Isn't it better that we start preparing now so that Allah has given us the opportunity we can be positive? Isn't it, brother? My colleagues? Why should I make you afraid and scared? And why don't I share with you beautiful points so that with ease and comfort we improve ourselves? That's better, isn't it? So that we don't have to be afraid of going to the hereafter, mashallah. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, let's prepare with ease and comfort and happiness. Let's be relaxed. For say, oh, the snake will come to the grave and the scorpions will come. They're going to bite you, the spiders, and your bones are going to be broken. We're going to be punished. No, we should say, Allah, we're going to die. We're going to go to our grave and it's going to be a portion of paradise. And when I got to the grave, from below, there was the fragrance of paradise. And then the women who were waiting for us in the hereafter say, oh, he's my husband. Shall I not share these points with you? Rather than I read such a verse, which is full of fear. Shall I not share with you Surah Rahman? Full of mercies and the words of Jannah, description of Jannah, mashallah. So my colleagues, my brothers. Dunya, each part of the world, we've been told that there's no peace here, there's no contentment here. We all sat here waiting for luxury and comfort. We're in deception. We're in a bad situation in the dunya. Thousands of sorrows, difficulties, problems, issues, nothing solved. Wife, children, marriage, their life, their prosperity. And the hereafter, no sorrow for the hereafter. No preparation for the hereafter. That's our situation up to now we discussed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He sent us, and Allah knew this, then Allah ta'ala, did He not give us a solution? A solution to the challenge that we're facing? For sure Allah gave us a solution. Definitely gave us a solution. There is dunya I'm sending you to, Allah said to us. To planet earth. And in this planet earth, you need to manufacture your hereafter, Allah says. While you're living here. And in this dunya also, you need to make Jannah paradise, Allah said. This dunya. Allah said that I'm not sending you to azab. I'm not going to give you punishments in the world. Allah says I'm sending you on a trial, a test. You could say a test pod is this dunya, so you can prepare for thereafter. For a short time I'm sending you dunya. Allah says, you are my beloved creation. Human beings, you are the afzal, the greatest form of creation. You are guests in the world on planet earth. You are guests, Allah says to us. Allah says that, why have I sent you here? To give you hardship? I haven't sent you here so you get severity and strictness and problems and hardship. No, Allah says, I'll give you the solution. So you can live your life with ease, comfortably, with no concerns, no problems, no anxiety. Your life in this world will become like paradise, luxurious for you. So what does Allah Ta'ala advise us to do to make life here comfortable and easy, straightforward? In one word, Allah said, you will get both places will become beautiful. In one word, Allah Ta'ala sealed it. Allah Ta'ala in the Quran has stated, because every information, data point Allah has put into the Quran. Allah says, tadabbur. Do tadabbur in the Quran. Don't just repeat it blindly. Don't just turn over the pages and grind the pages down. Tadabbur. I've given you Quran so you can extract the pearls. Extract the pearls. Allah says, select the pearls. These are all precious, beautiful pearls I've sealed in the Quran. Allah says, everything you will get the guidance from the Quran. Allah says, I've put this secret formula into the Quran. And Allah's promise guaranteed to us that your dunya will become beautiful and your hereafter will be Jannah and your dunya will become Jannah as well. If you follow my advice, what is it that Allah Ta'ala has told us to do? Oh, we say, Allah, we've read this verse, that's why we know this already. But today the way I will describe to you, you will really understand that this is the point that Allah Ta'ala is making. And we'll practice on this inshallah. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, in various places, Tubu ila Allah jami'a ayyuhal mu'minun. This is verse, isn't it? My colleague, Surah Nur, isn't it? Tubu ila Allah jami'a ayyuhal mu'minun. La'allakum tuflihun. Allah Ta'ala sealed completely the whole dunya we're living in is becoming Jannah, and in the hereafter Allah has made it easy for us. Tuflihun. The Mufassirin commentators have said it's such a great, massive word. They have said in the commentary, you cannot commentate on this, they said, this word. We cannot explain this. The Mufassir, Mufakkar of Islam in Lahore, mashallah, great Mufakkars of the Quran, who assessed and did commentary of the Quran, they said, this is a vast tafsir. This covers everything, Muflihun. Because there are such people, falah, success. Allah talks about success. It covers the whole world and the hereafter. Success. Imagine that. Vast. This dunya, all the goodness of the world comes into fala. Nothing can be remaining after that. When Allah says fala, all success of the dunya comes into it. And all of the hereafter, the success of the hereafter is present in the definition as well. When Allah gives the reward in the Quran, then understand such a great deed it is. That for the mu'min, the believer, there's full protection. Go, you are free. In this world and the hereafter, you have attained success. What a great word and deed Allah is ushering to us. What is that? Tubu ila Allahi jami'a. And Allah says, especially is addressing who? Who is Allah Ta'ala hinting this? Mu'mineen, the believers do this action. Those who have iman, faith. Allah is unraveling, not to everyone is Allah saying, not to all human beings, O people of iman. Allah says, I love you and your distress, I want to eliminate that. You are distressed in the world, running around for this, for that. To eliminate your distress, I am giving you a secret formula, Allah Ta'ala is saying to us. All your distress and sorrows, I will solve them in this one formula, Allah says. All of your problems and issues will be solved. And what is that? Tubu ilallah. Allah says, what you should do, O human being, do istighfar continuously to Allah. Repeatedly, do istighfar. Allah in Allah's presence, keep on repenting. Keep on repenting, istighfar. How great an action is tawbah, repentance. Imagine. The whole world and the hereafter Allah has put at your footstep. Mustaghfirin bil ashar. Allah Ta'ala says, those people, how great they are in the night, in the third portion of the night, they stand and they, mustaghfirin bil ashar, Allah says. Those who ask Allah for forgiveness. You are Sufis, all Sufis are telling him. Have you prayed tajud? Do you pray tajud after Isha? What is this you're talking about? What sort of tajud is that? This is just for the arm, common folk, ill people, women folk. Okay, after Isha you pray, you get the thawab. But the reward time is when our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi used to wake up in the third part of the night, the last third. And he said, we say we want to find Allah. And this is the condition to find Allah. That Allah cannot be found by that person who does not wake up in the last third of the night, the tahajjud time. Allah says, he who doesn't wake up that time can never find me. This is the fard on the Sufi to pray tahajjud. Fard. Compulsory. Because these are people who are seeking, finding Allah, finding the love of Allah. For them, their sujood are unique and separate and different. Their ruku, their bowing and prostration are unique because they are ashiks, they are lovers of Allah. So the ashik, how can he be that he wants to meet his beloved, the lover? He says, no, I'll meet you in the garden. Let me eat and be, come to you in the day. The person who loves Allah says, I want to be alone. And it's just you, Allah. And I want no third party. And then I speak to Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, if this is the person who loves me, then wake up, I'll give you the time. Come to me in the third part of the night, I will wait for you, Allah says. In the hadith it stated, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, third part of the night, comes close down to the lowest heaven and calls out, is there anyone out there who wants to ask from me? Is there anyone out there who wants to ask from me? Yes, mustaghfirin bil ashar. Those people who ask Allah for forgiveness. So don't we feel ashamed? Oh, after Isha, pray tahajjud. How sad, extremely unfortunate is this. My brothers, my colleagues, why are we wasting our life? And that time, Allah Ta'ala, which is the best time for ibadah, is the ibadah about which Allah says that you do istighfar. This istighfar, seeking forgiveness, will look after your dunya and the hereafter. Allah says that great time when I come to you and give you my love, I want to meet you and you want to meet me. There's only one ibadah, mustaghfirin bil ashar. Allah says, you keep on asking me for forgiveness, do tawbah. Allah says, I'll keep on making you my beloved servant and elevating your status. Do you understand what I'm saying? So three parts, beautiful points. Number one, when should we wake up? In the third part of the night, the last portion of the night, before Fajr time. We pray tahajjud, we keep on putting ticks on our sheets, On our sheets, ticks. When did you pray? After Isha. Oh my goodness me. What is this? Isha, after Isha, they're just for normal people who are sick, unwell, wife, children, they can't wake up, they're sick. Okay, they'll keep on getting the reward for tahajjud. But that's not the real color of tahajjud, is it? The impact. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. Tahajjud, this should be pain, difficulty, sacrifice, after Isha, sleep. After some sleep, then toss and turn. The ashik, the lover, he'll be waiting every toss and turn. Allah will say, come, irja'i. They can't stop tossing and turning on their beds. They're waiting. Keep a look in the clock. Is it tahajjud time? And he jumps up of the mattress. They don't think about Fajr because Allah, their beloved, they're meeting him in the last third of the night. They're not talking about Fajr, not setting the clock for Fajr. No, because we're meeting our beloved. Allah from the highest heaven, Allah comes to the lowest heaven. Allah calls, is there anyone there? Is there anyone there who's seeking me, finding me, who wants me? And in whose heart is the Quran? Subhanallah. And there's Surah Rahman in the heart. Memorize the Quran. Allah is the one who favors us. Then can he stay in the bed, the mad person? Does sleeping make sense? He'll sacrifice 1,000 sleeps. And he wakes up and he starts reciting Surah Yasin. But Surah Yasin is the heart of the Quran. Three hearts meet at that time. The human being's heart, the Quran's heart, Yasin, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman calls out that I like you, my servant, I like you. Three hearts meet. Tahajjud, this is the scene. Recite Surah Yasin, tahajjud time. Not me. I am just worse than you. I think even after Isha, I probably don't pray tahajjud. I'm so useless. I'm just worse. I'm speaking to myself. I'm the worst. Yeah, I'm dirty. MashaAllah, you pray tahajjud after Isha. I probably don't even do that. I'm nakamma. Useless. Yes, I'm just boosting myself here. Yes, I'm just turning the key so I can wind myself up, encourage myself. So just that you are good, I can follow your example. I'm with you. I'm not showing off. I pray tahajjud, you don't pray. I'm not saying that. Astaghfirullah. It's not the case. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, mashallah, well done, well done. You are good colleagues, you understand my discussion. So me and you, together, we need to work together. Now, let's not trick ourselves. So how long does it take to memorize Surah Yasin? The Hafiz, you think it's just the Hafiz should be... Okay, you become Hafiz as well, try it. One rakah and one line every day, learn. One line. How many lines are there? How many pages are there? It'll just take you a few days. Surah Yasin, you'll memorize it. And then if you pray Surah Yasin and Nafal Salah Subhanallah, then you'll become, revision will become solid. Solid. You understand? So all practical discussion we are having here, practical examples. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what were we talking about? Istighfar, repentance, forgiveness. So such a maqam, third part of the night, beautiful, blessed time. Istighfar is such a great action. And how much we have left this action. Okay, so what in reality is istighfar? What is repentance? What's the difference between repenting and istighfar, asking for forgiveness? Two things, opposite, yeah? We say repenting and asking for forgiveness. What's the difference? But we don't do it, we don't think about it. Such a great deed we've left, that's why we're distressed in the world. Wa'ullah, I swear, wallahi, the one who does true repentance will never stay in this world upset. Never. Allah has promised this. What has Allah Ta'ala promised in the Quran? Look at this. Astaghfiru Rabbakum. I'm not a Hafiz, I try to read, if I can remember, I'll keep on reading the verses, otherwise keep correcting me, that if I go up or down, mistake. What did Allah Ta'ala say in the Quran? Astaghfiru Rabbakum. Allah says, keep on asking me for forgiveness. Tawbah, istaghfar. So what's astaghfiru? What's astaghfar? Astaghfar is that when you have done the sins in the past, the time that is gone, you are requesting Allah, oh Allah, I remember my sins, my bad actions, I was a criminal, I did not good things, my body is now shaking, I'm old now, I can't do the bad things now. At that time I did this girl, this, that person, gambling, leaving salah, sins, ABC, Allah, I remember these today, my body is shaking, shaitan's reminding me again and again, and he's making me upset. So then one condition arises inside the human being, if he's pious, he's got a beard, does dhikr, Sufi sahib, he committed a sin, did a sin at some stage, what does he do now? Istighfar, he has to repent, he has to ask Allah for forgiveness, he passes, how? Because what is istighfar? Istighfar is the name of regret, remorse equals istighfar. Do you understand what I'm saying? That person who has regret and remorse and regrets his sins, then consider he is asking Allah for forgiveness. That's istighfar. That's the definition. And this tawbah Allah speaks about, when the human being does tawbah and istighfar like this, they feel shame, regret, remorse. Oh, so bad, Allah, I did this sin. If people were to understand what would happen, Allah knows about this. He's feeling, I did this action. Oh my gosh, how did I do this? How did I commit this sin? He feels really bad. Allah, tawbah, he's so shameful, he's feeling ashamed. And when that shame comes, then consider, alhamdulillah, that person's sins, Allah is about to forgive his or her sins on this condition. And what will he do after shame? Allah, forgive me, Allah, I made a big mistake. Allah says, this is your istighfar, and this, Allah says, astaghfiru rabbakum. That's the person who's asking his Lord for forgiveness. Allah says, do this tawbah to me, in which there's regret and shame. The tawbah of regret, shame, he will not repeat that same mistake. You understand what I'm saying? A person who becomes stubborn, after saying, no, I didn't do anything wrong. What difference does it make? I could do what everyone else does. What difference does it make if I do? It's a minor, it doesn't matter. No problem whatsoever. No worries. Everyone else sins. And he's spoiling his face. The Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to cut the beard. What a big act of immodesty, tell me. Is there any other bigger act of immodesty? This shaving. And he stood in front of the Rawda Mubarak, the holy grave of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is giving him pain. And he's got the claim that he's a lover of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How can you tell me this? Is there any greater kufr or shirk than this? Think about it. How many people are doing this action right now? Go there today and see for yourself. Yes, beghair. No shame. no shame. The extremities of shame, no shame. The person though who is feeling shame, astaghfirullah, Allah did this. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, such great sunnah, the beard that he held dear to his beard, and wasn't I ashamed? That's the regress coming in his life now. When he feels that remorse, what does Allah Ta'ala do? Subhanallah, your tawbah, this equals tawbah. And such a tawbah, repentance, Allah says, astaghfiru rabbakum. The person who asks Allah for forgiveness, who has remorse, and this is the definition Allah gives, this is tawbah, and then your dunya becomes beautiful after that. First reward, Allah says, innahu kana ghaffara. Ghaffara, first reward, whoever does tawbah, genuine, authentic, your Lord promises you that all your sins are forgiven. Ghaffara. Subhanallah. That time will realize when he will get the punishment for lying, for what he's getting here, the certificate. You understand what I'm saying? What an opportunity right now. We've still got the breath. Just today, this janazah we prayed. Can she do this now? Can that person do this now? Can she do tawbah again now? Tell me, the person who's passed away, the sister. Can she have regret, remorse on her mistakes and ask for forgiveness? No, end. Her life story is ended. But me and you, we can. We've still got a chance. Until now, we can. We don't know about tomorrow. We don't know about tomorrow. So do we do tawbah today? Put your hands up if you repent today with regret and shame. Yes, remember each sin. List them. Okay, put your hands down. So whoever does tawbah, repents like this, first reward, Allah says, "Zanu kana ghaffara." Though all your sins I have forgiven them. Yursilu sama. Yursilu sama, Allah says. What is that? Midarara. Allah says, such a human being from the heavens, I will send the rain of mercy. Rain of mercy down onto that person. Why is Allah giving the example of rain? Because rain is mercy. Rain is itself a blessing and a mercy of Allah. Rahmah brings mercy. Every drop of rain is a mercy of Allah. So Allah says, I will allow my mercies to rain upon that person. And Allah is saying, you're still here in the world. So you've done istighfar. Ghaffara comes forgiveness. Secondly, the mercies. All sins forgiven. Allah's mercy rains down. And the mercies rain down on that person. Number two, reward. Yes, Allah says, Yursil sama midarara. Say subhanallah. Such rewards you should rejoice. I'm not telling you about spiders, scorpions and snakes in the earth. I'm telling you the rewards. At least say Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. Then, that we just have to do a short action. All our sins are being forgiven, alhamdulillah, with regret and shame. And Allah's mercies are raining down upon us. And if Allah's mercies rain down upon us, then will his dunya not become Jannah? Paradise? Those who have the rain of Allah's mercy coming down, imagine how happy they are sitting. Ask them. Ask those people. Go and ask them. And see that the life, I saw the life of my Hazrat Sahib, that there was no one more content and happy than him. And he did not get no food, no bread. Third day he'd get yogurt with a dry piece of bread. And he was so happy face he had in life, that after seeing him yourself, you'd become happy and content, and you'd forget all your sorrows. Imagine his happiness. His blessed face when I used to see it. No one ever complained. No, he never complained to anyone. Never made a fuss. No issues. Why? Because he had inside him whatever Allah has given, everything is the best. And after that, I cannot ask for anything more. And if Allah's mercy is in that, then the taste and enjoyment is in that food that he used to eat. Me and you, we cook. We have dasturkhan. We don't have that taste. That faqir on his straw palm mat, he sits with dry chapati, dry bread and yogurt. We cannot get the enjoyment in our cooked food. There's haram in that, there's lying in that, there's fraud in that, there's chickens, big chickens, biryani we eat, and our stomach doesn't get filled. The stomach is upset and growling at the time while we're eating, and people get diarrhea, upset stomachs, there's no barakah in the food. And then they say, the stomach is not full, but there's no need, I want to eat more, I eat more. He says, your stomach's full. He says, no, I feel like eating more. I want more. Keep on eating. Keep on eating. Keep on. You see in the feast or in the invitation, they're stealing the food. Plowing for the food. Because they don't have Allah Ta'ala's mercy with them. They haven't done tawbah. That woman or man who wants in this dunya to make it a paradise, first do tawbah. Repent with the remorse and regret. Have remorse and regret on your previous sins. And the dunya, you should not worry about sins. You've got time, isn't it? It's a bit extended, the discussion. In this dunya, might tell you the people you're a thief and you're a criminal, but you should feel inside and accept that you've committed the crime. Do you understand what I'm saying? Not the people. You yourself should admit. Your conscience should tell you yourself that you've done this action. You're a culprit. You are mujrim, criminal. Biggest culprit. Who's telling you? Your conscience is telling you. Nobody else is telling you. Those who are immodest, the dunya says to you, they don't care. They survive. They go through. Just like, you know, you're ruling today in our countries. Have immodesty. Total immodesty, no shame. They've eaten so much, they laugh. They grin and they keep on laughing after that. These are the immodest people. But those who have a conscience and they have a life and it tells them their consciousness, mustaghfirina bil asar, they wake up in the night, they do sujood, they cry, Allah, I've made a sin, committed a sin with this person, I oppressed, I did something unjust, I did zina, adultery, I did this wrong, Allah. Allah Ta'ala, then Allah replies to that person. What the reply? Yurusu Samala says that my rahmah and my mercy will come down upon you, raining upon you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Was this the reward again for? Repent and regret. Repentance based on remorse and regret. Not the gangsters. Yes? Oh, no, I need to do more of this. I need to get more of this. No. Then Allah Ta'ala says, sins are forgiven and mercy is raining down upon you. And then, وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ Allah says, وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ أَمْوَالَ بَنِينَ SubhanAllah. This is our dunya, isn't it? This is the description of our life. Just wives, children, we're running around like wretched dogs. We lie, fraud, deceive. We give deception to people. Top to bottom, we run around, run to different countries. We do this, put visas on. For what? Just so that we can bring up our wife and children. And to extend our wealth. We leave salah. And we leave jama'ah, congregation, leave dhikr, curse on such a life. Is there some life of a human being, of a mu'min, of a believer? No dhikr in the morning, no salah in the morning, no jama'ah congregation. Oh, I have to go to the shop, to my business, workplace, my premises, employment. I have to put a visa on here, go there, travel here. Compare yourself to this ideal life of deen. Allah says, yumdidkum. Just one istighfar. I'm giving you repentance. I'm giving forgiveness. Why do you run around like a dog? Allah gives the example, you know, the dog, the tongue is always hanging out. Allah has given the example of kelb. The kelb is the dog. Kelb, isn't it? I'm not saying this. Allah's given the example. Then the dunya, those who are greedy of the world, for the world, the tongue is hanging out. Money, cars, houses. Oh, he's got this. She's got that in that country. He's got this success, this much money. Yes, our tongue is panting and hanging out in his dreams, in his thoughts. Nothing about tahajjud, no deen, no practice, no dhikr. Oh, dhikr, I'll come inshallah one day. I'll come. I keep trying. I try. I can't open my eyes. Yaar, it's too hard. Yaar, I have to do this. I have to do that in the dunya. You understand what I'm saying? Allah Ta'ala says they're dogs. Their tongues are staying hanging out. They're like dogs panting, heavily breathing. And people like this, in reality, their face is like a dog. And they become like a dog. The example Allah said, like a donkey. Such scholars who have the memory of the ilm but they don't practice, they're like the donkeys. Empty, the dunya calls them scholars. And Allah Ta'ala says, in my definition, they're donkeys, these people. Shah Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayhi, may Allah's mercy be upon him. He used to go to Lee Juma, he used to wrap his blanket around his face and eyes. Someone said to him, Hazrat Sahib, why are you doing this? You hide your face and come. He says, yes, it's better like this. He said, tell me please. He said, tell me. I'll tell you next Juma you come, then I'll explain to you why. Do I wrap the sheet around my face and I sit on the minbar like this with my face hidden? He said, please tell me. He said, what you do is that he took his imama, put it on his head. So he did that, all the human beings in front. There was a dog, a donkey, a pig, a swine, a monkey. And he screamed out, that man. He said, Hazrat, please take your mama back. He said, this is the reality of the human beings according to the deeds. Allah Ta'ala shows it to me. This is how these people will rise from their graves. So a person like that, a person who consumes interest, becomes an animal, a person who doesn't pray salah in jama'ah, becomes a face of an animal. Those who reject salah, animals, those who do pray salah and do dhikr, their face is full of nur and their life is full of nur. They will get life. Those who are amil, scholars who do amal, their faces will be full of nur and they're the deputies of the Prophet ﷺ. So this is all in our own hands and control. Those who claim wrong, they can claim in the world, I'm this, I'm that. But how long will that dawah, the falseness continue? The truth will come out, it will be unraveled. Do you understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying correct? Tell me. So Allah says that do tawbah, repent, and your deeds are my control. Your children are my responsibility. How I give you prosperity and wealth and good children and family. Why do you run after the things that are my responsibility? Allah says, your child should not leave salah. And your Rabb, Lord, will give the rizq to the child. But you should be worried about the salah of your child, of the dhikr of your child, not the earnings and the money. Children, I will give to you, Allah says. I will give you children, Allah says. I will give you children. They will grow up with my guidance. No doctor will give you the cure, Allah says. Who gives the children? Allah says, I give the children. We believe in this. So Allah says, everything you will get through what? Allah says, do istighfar, repent, and have remorse and regret for your sins. Sincere repentance. And what can you earn in the world? Allah says, you can try your best. The world, the life of the world, you cannot change your life. Allah says, you change the countries. Even if you go to the moon, you won't get the wealth and earnings. And you can put the visa for the moon if you want. Go as far as you can. Put two visas. How long and how far will you run for the sake of money? How much you'll do fraud, you'll deceive, you'll sell your ilm, your deen, the Quran. Keep on doing what you do, but you will not attain anything. You will stay hungry beyond hungry. The dunya, you will be wretched and cursed and disrespected. And you'll be wretched and zaleel. Yes, if you come towards your Rabb, tubu ila Allah. Jamia, not you, the whole world, Allah says, I will give them the recognition of who you are, that if you are the mu'min, turn back to me, Allah says. And regret, revive your regret and remorse, that who are you disobeying? Whose laws are you disobeying? When the tears roll down from your eyes due to regret and remorse and you prostrate to Allah, then your Rabb, Lord, see and your wealth and your money and your children, how Allah extends that and increases that, multiplies that. Keep on listening to what I say again. The cassette, the bayan will be uploaded. You understand what I'm saying? So what does Allah say? Istighfar, those who repent. Ghaffara, Allah says. Ghaffara. I forgive them. Their deeds, their crimes. But we're worried about money and our stomach and our comfort life. Yes, we don't do the actions for what Allah Ta'ala advises. We try our own way. I want this. I want to gain this. I want to go there. Nothing. Is Allah greater and better or we? Is the Quran bigger and better? Quran says, Tadabbur. Ponder, sesame. You can try your whole life in warehouses and get more shops. All lifelong education, consultant, professor. But you can't get satisfaction. How can you get satisfaction and peace? From the life that Allah has prescribed to us. The life of sorrow. Whoever wants to make this life Jannah and wants to be a king in this world, then go and ask Hazrat Khwaja Muhyiddin Chishti, who still has got the leadership. Even today the Indian subcontinent is his. Muhyiddin Chishti. One English man who went there. Yes, he's written in his book, this British person, that I've been to India and I've seen who's ruling and running the country. He said, I've seen myself personally in the grave. He is running the country, Khwaja Muhyiddin Chishti. No one else is running that country. He's talking about Hazrat Khwaja Muhyiddin Chishti, Rahmatullah Alayh, the reviver of the deen. Qudsi Sirah, his extreme holiness. He's in his grave now and he's running the state. And you are running the state on top of the country and you can't do nothing. You zalim, you arrive to your grave with punishment. You understand what I'm saying or you don't? Because they were those people who did istighfar, who repented to Allah, had real friendship with Allah. As I said to you, Allah gives everything. Yes, me and you, why are we worried? I'm going to bring my kids up, who's going to provide to them? We should be worried that he should not disobey Allah in any way or form. With the children. Don't bear if they make a mistake. There cannot be, I have a child, my son, my daughter, and my son doesn't pray Salah in Jama'ah? Congregation? So two points arise here. Let's look here closely. Mal, wealth and children. Allah says, that's in my control. My control. Then further Allah Ta'ala says. Allah says, that Jannah and Anhara, both of these things. This is the verse, isn't it? Have I read this properly? The whole verse I've told you is about istighfar, that what a great verse this is. Allah says, not yet. That I'll give you another reward for your istighfar in the kitab Allah mentions. Jannat, Allah says, that there'll be gardens upon gardens and fruits you'll earn here, you'll have mal there and thereafter. Anhara. Allah's given an example of Anhara. That from your land there'll be rivers flowing, gushing food. Allah says you'll be so wealthy and rich, you'll have gardens, fields, orchards, kingdoms under your feet, you'll be so rich in the hereafter. So if Allah is saying this, is He wrong? Astaghfirullah. Is Allah wrong? That, am I making this up? Am I giving you tricks here? Allah is saying this. It's permanent fact. Nobody can reject whatever Allah Ta'ala says. It happens. It always happens. Whatever Allah Ta'ala says. So why are we scared and afraid? Why are we anxious about the dunya? Allah says, just do one action. Just do one action. Istighfar. Repent. That's it. Yes, when you do istighfar, then don't worry about the past. You look forward. What's the istighfar? That you repent, Allah, please forgive my previous sins. And that's istighfar. And then tawbah, repenting. Because both are together. Yes, that they are connected. Istighfar and tawbah. For ask Allah for forgiveness and then tawbah. Istighfar, atubu ilay. Tawbah, repenting, is then to make the promise for what's to come. That Allah, I'm leaving my previous sins with regret, and inshallah in the future I will not repeat these same sins. So you make a pact. They're both joined together. Do you understand? Forgiveness and repentance joined together. So astaghfar, you ask Allah forgiveness for the previous crimes, and then tawbah, eventually Allah, I will not in the future do the same. Allah says, okay, I will protect you now for the future. Allah Ta'ala protects now. Your Rabb, your Lord will protect you. He will not allow you to go towards that sin in the future. What a great statement. So we don't need to do anything at all. We start our life. Look, whenever a human being goes to a sheikh, his teacher, the first action the sheikh enables the student to do is true tawbah, true repentance. Allah says in Surah Mumtahina, this is where Allah says, oh, my Prophet, my Nabi, this is the Quran, isn't it? Surah Mumtahina, my Prophet, the believing woman will come to you. Why? They will come to yastaghfar, they will come to ask Allah for forgiveness. This is in the Quran. Who is Allah saying this to? And what should you do, my Nabi? Enable them to repent after that. Wastaghfirullah. Allah says that what will happen then? That such a beloved servant of mine, that sister will become the believing women. Allah says that, oh my Nabi, do dua for that person. Just like today in this day and age, you go to the sheikh, you have regret, you do tawbah. Allah says that you are now my beloved servant. Then Allah says to his beloved waliullah, that, oh my beloved waliullah, this student loves you now. So you now do dua for them. Ask, you raise your hands in Medina, oh my Nabi. So the Shaykh, when he raises his hands in Bolton, and then the Prophet ﷺ raises his hands in Medina Sharif. Same time. Then Allah Ta'ala says, Inna Allaha Ghafoorur Raheem. My servant, you asking me for forgiveness, and the Shaykh is raising his hands for his forgiveness, and my Mabub Prophet ﷺ has raised his hands also. Allah says, I am Allah. How can I stay behind? I'm Allah Ghafoor. All previous sins forgiven. Rahim. All sins change into good deeds. Rahim. Allah Ta'ala says, I transform his sins into good deeds. Allah will give more to him. Say Subhanallah. Go to a sheikh, take his hand, repent. If it's a sister, do tawbah on the phone. If it's a man, jump and go there, please, for the sake of Allah, allow me to do tawbah so my life in this world can become Jannah. No, we don't go to sheikh. When do you pray tajud? After Isha. This is not tawbah. This is nonsense. This is not the tawbah that runs. If you go to the sheikh, you grab his hand, then the hand has gone into my hand, and mashallah, I got the light of guidance, and all my destinations became crystal clear like the beautiful morning. Yeah? Not this after Isha and tahajjud, grab the hand, then transform the life of the student and your direction changes. Haram will never come to my life. You say. Haram will never come to my life. Lying will never come. Fraud will never come. Sunnah will never be compromised. And your direction of life changes. Yes, that thief for decades, the thief, the criminal, alhamdulillah, and he turns his face away from the dunya. He gets ease and comfort. My sheikh, when I sat in the company of my sheikh, and it didn't take long, not 10,000 years, not 40 years, not 50 years, not 2 weeks, few moments, minutes, from dhuhr till asr, I sat with my sheikh, the first sitting. Until Maghrib, from Dhuhr until Maghrib. This was the time, in that time frame I sat, me and my sheikh, nobody else. When we came out from his hujra, from his blessed room, all the dunya, the jama'ah was sat there. My sheikh took my hand, raised it up and said, go, listen people, he is successful. Teach the people of the world dhikrullah. I didn't have a beard at that time. I didn't have a beard, it was stubble. I left Europe and I was young, a student from university. And there was envy. What a sheikh, what the tasarruf of the sheikh. He hasn't even grown a beard. He's fresh and he's such a high maqam he's got. That no, he's being sent there to Europe and people's hearts. He said, go. My sheikh said, go. And all four silsila, Chishti, Qadiri, Surwadi, and Naqshbandi, all asbaq he gave to me, all the lessons. Permission. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Why? Because my shaykh had belief and faith that this individual, this dunya may go left and right, up and down. That mashallah, he detached from me and went. My dunya went up and down and transformed that same moment. He took my hand and that dunya did not remain the same. Now he's changed. He knows now. And he had no need to tell me. I swear Allah, never did Hazrat Sahib say to me, wear turban, keep the bed. Never. He said, I have no need to tell my student now haram. He will see it as haram. You understand what I'm saying? For this reason we go to a shaykh? No, no, dhikr, I'll start soon, inshallah, just make mistakes. Morning, it's just too hard for me, I have to go to work, and dunya, astaghfirullah. These excuses we make, we have to accept, we have to change, we have to improve, and make sacrifices in the path of Allah. Why? Because the rest of the things we're asking, Allah's taking the responsibility. Allah says, I'll give you mercy, I'll give you children, I'll give you wealth, I'll give you work, I'll give you prosperity. Allah's taking all responsibility. So why are you worried? Why am I afraid? Why am I shaking for the dunya? Am I scared Allah, my food, chapatis, when will eggs come? I don't have no need, I should go and see. Allah says, go, I've promised you that I'll give you everything. Just do istighfar, ask Allah for forgiveness. Bilasar, Allah says, if you make a sin, ask Allah for forgiveness. Understand what I'm saying? So such people, then they wait, when will the morning come? I want to get up quickly before Fajr, I want to ask Allah for forgiveness, the mistakes I've made. What a beautiful deen Allah has given to us. And if I spoke today about spiders, scorpions, punishments, snakes, and the graves pressing us and punishing us, have I spoke about this today? No, no. We spoke about the good things, positive things. That's it. So this is istighfar, forgiveness. What a valuable, valuable action, istighfar. Allah has given to us the whole two verses of the Quran I shared with you, the rewards Allah gives, and how Allah has ordered us to do istighfar. So everything is with us, and it's in our hands. We have to improve our connection, relationship with Allah. And if we don't improve our relationship with Allah, until that time, if we don't admit that Allah, we are criminals, we are the culprits. Istighfar is such an action that every moment of your life keep reciting. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us education. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Did he commit sins? Did he make mistakes? The 70 times a day? Yes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah set out, announced, the imitate. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi, he never committed a sin in his life. Any Prophet was innocent, and he's the Imam of the Anbiya, the Imam of the Prophets. So, and we are fighting over this point, how foolish and stupid we are. Allah's given an example that he's so pure and clean. What's the example? What's the reason? That he came to give you the example of Ummah, that how to repent. He didn't need to repent, the Prophet ﷺ. He didn't need to ask Allah for forgiveness. He never made a mistake. His every action, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولَ اللَّهِ said, I sent him as an example for you, so you can learn from him. 70 times he did istighfar. He didn't do it for his sins. He had no sin. He's explaining to us that this is how you live your life. Do istighfar all the time because you prayed salah. That do you consider that your salah was at that standard level? Except he said no. So look at the deficiency. The biggest and greatest of deeds you implement, look at the deficiency and ask Allah forgiveness. Allah, I couldn't implement this properly. Forgive me. At that time Allah will elevate your status. Do you understand the case? Is this the case or not, Mawlana sir? We do a small righteous worship action. Oh, yaar, I'm pious, I've reached. I don't need to do istighfar. I pray salah. I do this 15 juz. I just recite every day. I do this. I pray. I worship. Why? I have no need for istighfar. I say this. But the amal, the action you're doing, foolish person, you need to do istighfar. The action you're doing right now. The amal, the worship, the practice you're doing right now, do istighfar so Allah can accept it. So that your salah is accepted. Every deed you do morning to night through the night, two actions remember if you want to be successful. Two actions remember from today. That good deed that you implemented, be grateful to Allah. Alhamdulillah, say. And after doing that good deed, look at your deficiencies and accept and bear yourself in front of Allah and say, Astaghfar. Alhamdulillah, Astaghfirullah, you'll become successful. Takabbur will never come in your life if you say Alhamdulillah, gratitude and Astaghfar. Never will be proud. If you don't do these two things, then you'll be full of pride. Yes, your neck will never straighten properly. Yes, when you do a good deed ever, Allah, I'm grateful to you. I'm grateful to Allah. Alhamdulillah, I was unworthy. Allah, it's your further grace that enabled me to do this good action. Gratitude. I said something good just now. I just prayed salah just now. I just prayed, recited one juz just now from the Quran. Allah, I'm grateful to you, otherwise I couldn't do this, I couldn't come, Allah. Allah, I'm saying Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Allah, because you enabled me to this action. So that's showing gratitude. Then after doing that, Allah, I'm aware, it's your generosity. I didn't pray Salah properly. I've got thousands of mistakes, Masallah, Allah, forgive me and please accept my Salah. So that's the second action, which is Astaghfar. What a great relationship with Allah. No, I pray Salah, I'm priced. Oi! Someone's outside. Why don't you pray Salah? Aren't you ashamed? You stupid man, you should be praying Salah. Look at me. I'm pious. That poor soul, he just gives up then. Why? He says, I'm doing tabligh, dawah. You got takabur inside you, that I pray Salah and you don't pray Salah. You're telling people off. Is this how you improve people? Influence people? Say Subhanallah. I'll give you a good example, isn't it? Yes. Oh, he shouts out, comes out of the masjid, showing people, oh, you don't pray Salah? Astaghfirullah, you should pray Salah, you disrespectful, dirty person. Looks down at him. Astaghfirullah. And he's laughing. And he goes off track even more. Is this the tariqah method of doing tabligh? No. First, present your own deficiency sins. Yaar, I'm like you. I didn't used to pray Salah. And mashallah, when I look at you today, I remember my history. Look at the difference when you speak to him. Comparison. Yeah? I was like you. I used to shave my beard, trim my beard like you. I was sinful. I had dark days. I wasn't aware. Tubu ilallahi. Yaar, we're the same. We're human beings. There's no difference between us. I was like, you inshallah, one day you will be good, pious, and when you start, then you start listening to, be attracted to what you're saying. Do you understand what I'm saying? What a big difference. So lower yourself below the person who's a sinful. Say, you're better than me, yaar. You're better than me. Yes, don't look at me, I pray Salah. I prayed, but you're better than me. When you pray, then you'll pray better than me, inshallah. You'll become, confident, is it? Oh, right. Please talk to me more. People said, I'm a thief and I'm sinful, and he's praising me. Remember this, he'll become your friend, that person. When he becomes your friend, suddenly, then mashallah, he comes into your net, and then he'll come more towards Allah. So just pull him in then. Catch him in the net and pull him in. You'll start praying Salah. And various people like this, mashallah, I have influenced them to pray Salah. Various. Because just connect with them, become friends with them. You're better than me, yaar. You're pious. Do dua for me, and you're better than me. Yeah? No, if he says, if you're better than me and I'm sinful, where will I go? Yes, correct. Obviously, it's not wrong if that person, he hasn't got a beard, he doesn't pray, he's not that good, is he? But you, subhanAllah, you say to him, look, you keep the beard, try. You try to pray, try to be good, and you'll be better than me. Influence that person, encourage. Because on our deeds, we haven't done hamd on our deeds, nor have we done tawbah, so we become proud. We think we're better than others. What's the benefit of them? What benefit will we give to other people? Okay, do you understand what I'm saying? Inshallah, today's sabak lesson, we will revise it. Shall I summarize again? So we can repeat again. Number one. The Sufi brothers you are, when should you pray tahajjud from today? Third part of the night. Yes, tick it then, otherwise don't tick your sheet. Okay, put a cross. It's not for you. It's for those people, those who are in hardship. Yeah, who send their sheets. When should you tick the sheet? When you pray tahajjud in the third part of the night, that's when you tick the sheet. That's when you do istighfar. Yes, with regret. Okay? Understood? That's one sabak, one lesson. Next lesson. The whole world and the hereafter, the goodness is in what? Istighfar. Asking Allah for forgiveness. Why is the hadith? On the day of judgment, most of all those who will be happy are those who did astaghfar in abundance. So when you do good deeds, even if you're a good person, you do astaghfar, your habit should be always astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. The Holy Prophet said 100 times, on every breath we should do astaghfar. Every breath. Make this a habit. And then you will be included amongst those who do istighfar in abundance with sense, awareness. And where should you do true repentance? In the hands of a sheikh. Put your hands like the Quran has advised us. Understand all these points? All of these actions to do if we want to become good. Otherwise we're just the same. We're just a bubble that will burst. It's fake, and then we die and we'll be bathed and then we'll put in the grave. Then the scorpions and snakes will come. If you want to invite them, if you want to avoid them, then avoid today. Put your hands in the hands of a true sheikh. Do bayah, pledge allegiance. Don't play games, tricks, he's this and that. Don't fall into no trick. Or go on the marches, he's this and that. No, where you see on his face there's a light and his words are piercing your heart, then say yes. Hidayah, guidance I'll get from this person. I'm not going to look at anything else. And inshallah, you'll get hidayah, guidance. You understand what I'm saying? That's it. So do true tawbah, go to a sheikh, find a wali Allah, put your hand in his hands, have regret, remorse, do istighfar. Always on your tongue, astaghfirullah, forgive me, regret, shame. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the ability to practice on this. Ameen wa akhru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Let's do dhikr of Allah now for sure.
Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa Allahumma salli ala sayyidina maulana Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma ighfir lana dhunubana wa zulmana wa azlana wa jaddana wa khatana wa amadana kulla zalika indana. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا دافي البليات اشف بلياتنا يا شافي المراد اشف مرادنا يا شافي المراد اشف مرادنا. اللہ تمام لوگوں نے جو بیماروں نے اپنے علاج کی یہ دعا کے لیے کہا ہے میں نے مولا تو ان کے حق میں تمام دعاؤں کو قبول کرا, تمام مریضوں کو میرے مولا شفا عطا فرما. یا اللہ صحت و کامیابی سے نواز دے, لا علاج لوگوں کو علاج عطا فرما میں نے مولا. یا اللہ تو ہماری پریشانی کو دور فرما, ہماری مصیبتوں کو دور فرما, ہمیں سچی توبہ نصیب فرما. یا اللہ جتنی بھی پریشانی ہے مصیبت ہیں اس کی وجہ یہی ہے کہ ہم استغفار نہیں کرتے. اے میرے مولا ہمیں سچی استغفار نصیب فرما. یا اللہ تمام بیماریوں کا پریشانیوں کا علاج صرف ایک ہی ہے اور وہ استغفار ہے. جب تک ہم اپنے آپ کو اچھا سمجھیں گے کبھی ہم صحیح نہیں ہوں گے میرے مولا. ہمیں سچے استغفار نصیب فرما, ہر بیماری کا ہر پریشانی کا علاج ہم استغفار سے عطا فرما. اے میرے مولا جو کینسر کے مریض ہیں ان کو شفا نصیب فرما, جو علاجوں کے منتظر ہیں ان کو علاج صحیح فرما. اے میرے مولا تو امت پہ رحم فرما, پوری امت پہ رحم فرما, پوری امت پہ رحم فرما. یا اللہ ہم پہ اپنا غضب نہیں رحمت نازل فرما. یا اللہ ہم پر ہم ہوتے ہیں تیرے غضب سے تیرے ناراضیوں سے. یا کریم تو اپنی رحمت عطا فرما, اپنا فضل نصیب فرما. یا اللہ ہماری غلطیوں کو معاف فرما, ہماری خدائیوں کو معاف فرما. یا اللہ ہم سے تو گزر درگزر فرما. یا اللہ ہم جو کچھ بھی ہیں تیری امت کے تیرے حبیب کی امت ہی ہیں میرے مولا. یا اللہ تو ہماری غلطیوں کو معاف فرما دے, ہماری خطاؤں کو معاف فرما. یا اللہ ہم سچی توبہ کرتے ہیں یا کریم تو معاف فرما. یا اللہ اس رات کے اندر جو عظیم رات ہے, یہ شب جمعہ ہے, گزرتی جا رہی ہے میرے مولا, تیرے آگے ہاتھ پھیلائے فقیر بیٹھے ہیں میرے مولا. یا اللہ ہم نے سچی توبہ نہیں کی, آج ہمیں سچی توبہ نصیب فرما دے. یا اللہ سارے گناہ ہمارے دور فرما دے میرے مولا. یا اللہ آخرت کا فکر نصیب فرما. یا اللہ خوف عطا فرما قبر کا, عذاب قبر کا میرے مولا. یا اللہ جب من کریں گے ہمارے سوال کریں گے میرے مولا, ہم کیسے جواب دیں گے میرے مولا. یا تو کرم فرما. یا اللہ ہمارا مال نماز ہے, کچھ بھی ہمارے پاس نہیں ہے میرے مولا سوائے تیری رحمت کی. شارین تو کرم فرما دے میرے مولا. یا اللہ تو کرم فرما دے, توبہ قبول فرما, توبہ عطا فرما میرے مولا. یا کریم توبہ عطا فرما. یا اللہ ہمارے ماں باپ کی بخشش فرما, یا اللہ ہمارے ماں باپ کی بخشش فرما, یا اللہ ہمارے لواحقین جس دنیا سے جا چکی ہمارے پیارے میرا ان سب کی بخشش فرما, یا اللہ جنت میں اعلیٰ مقام نصیب فرما, یا اللہ جن کے ساتھ ہم نے زیادتی کی اور دنیا سے جا چکی میرے مولا تم سے ہمارا معاملہ صحیح فرما دے, یا اللہ ہم سے ہمارا معاملہ صحیح فرما دے, یا اللہ تو ہم سے راضی فرما دے, یا اللہ تو اپنے فضل غم سے جنہوں نے ہم پر احسانات کیے میرے مولا یا اللہ ان کے درجاتوں کو بلند فرما, یا رحم الرحیمین یا رحم الرحیمین تو اپنے فضل سے آج کی ہماری مجلس کو قبول فرما. ربنا حب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرۃ اعین واجعلنا للمتقین اماما, اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربیانی صغیرا, اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربیانی صغیرا, اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا واستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون, سلام على المرسلين, والحمد لله رب العالمين.